Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Women Making History. I hope everybody's had a good start to 2022. I feel like we were all happy to say goodbye to 2020 and 2021, and we all thought, you know, good riddance. It could not get any worse. It can only go but get better from here. Then comes 2022, and I swear it was like, hold my beer, watch this. Anyway, for this week, I have chosen to talk about one of my favorite historical figures, probably ever, male or female, Eleanor of Aquitaine. She was another woman far ahead of her time, and she is still legendary today. She was a queen to two different countries, with two different men, and a duchess in her own right. Her life story is like a movie, and honestly, I don't know why there haven't been more written about her. She was truly a force to be reckoned with, so let's dive into her incredibly interesting and adventurous life. So, Eleanor of Aquitaine was born in Bordeaux in 1122. Bordeaux was a part of Aquitaine, which is now southwestern France. She was the oldest child of Duke William X of Aquitaine and his wife, Eleanor. Eleanor was followed by her sister Petronella and then by a brother named William. Eleanor's name actually means the other Eleanor and may be the first person to have ever been named Eleanor. So even her name was legendary. Eleanor was born into a region where the lifestyle was easygoing. The summers were hot, but the winters were mild. Aquitaine was the hub for science, culture, the arts, and when Eleanor was born, it was at its height. This was in large part due to her grandfather, William IX. He was the Duke of Aquitaine before her father, of course, and was also a famous troubadour and warrior. His works influenced the development of later provincial romantic poetry. Courtly love was also in its infancy when Eleanor was born. This can also be traced back to her grandfather. Expressing personal feelings became the main purpose of troubadours, composers, and performers of lyrical poetry, all set to romantic music. This became known as the music of Lady Love. The troubadours roamed the countryside, visiting castles and communities to share the latest little ditties that were going about. The preferred themes, of course, were chivalry and courtly love. Eleanor's father, however, lacked his father's poetic skills, but did inherit his love of literature. Her father, in turn, encouraged her and her sister in education and cultural refinement, which in that time was nearly unheard of for girls or women, regardless of their social class. Eleanor was extremely educated. As a young girl, she was fluent in Latin and skilled in all of the kingly sports, which included hunting and hawking. Her mother saw to her education in domestic affairs. Her domestic education consisted of learning to spin, weave, and how to keep a household running. Both Eleanor and her sister Petronella were raised and nurtured in the troubadour culture of the warm South in her grandfather's court with its courtly love. On top of being extremely intelligent and well-educated, she was a renowned beauty even into her old age. She was described as being high-spirited in nature and worldly. She was just like her grandfather in that she was outspoken. Although her grandfather loved scandal and loved to shock people, Eleanor has never been described in biographies as being like that in regards to her grandfather. But she is described as being most like him. Because of her outspoken nature, she was repeatedly criticized by the church throughout her life, which I can't say is surprising not because she was actually scandalous or sinful, so to speak, but because in her time, and even up to more recently, women were expected to be seen and not heard. They were expected to obey and please. It didn't matter what their feelings, dreams, opinions, aspirations, or goals were. They were the property of their husbands or fathers and expected to obey and produce children. Women such as Eleanor, who spoke their minds and lived their life by their own terms, were considered abhorrent and scandalous. Even though Eleanor grew up extremely privileged, she still suffered loss and sadness. When she was 8 years old, her 4-year-old brother, William, died of an illness and was closely followed by their mother. Her brother's death left her as heir presumptive to the Duchy of Aquitaine and left her and her sister with only their father. As the heir, she became a valuable prize in the marriage market. Her father then died of dysentery while on pilgrimage at the age of 38 in 1137. Eleanor was only 15 years old. Upon her father's death, Eleanor became Duchess of Aquitaine, but then also became the ward to King Louis VI of France, also known as Louis the Fat. King Louis didn't waste any time in arranging a marriage between Eleanor and his own son and heir, also named Louis. By joining his son and Eleanor in marriage, the French king would bring Aquitaine under the French crown and thereby greatly increase France's power. Prince Louis, who was then 17, rode to Bordeaux with over 500 knights and married Eleanor almost immediately. Prince Louis and Eleanor were ill-matched from the start. Prince Louis was never meant to be an heir, let alone a king. He had an older brother, so as the second son, he was promised to the church from an early age. Because of this, he had spent most of his time in monasteries learning scriptures. He had so far led a very sheltered life. He lacked all the training and experience that goes into being a future monarch. So even though he became heir to the French throne upon his brother's death, he lacked all of the necessary skills and knowledge that went along with that title. Eleanor, on the other hand, had been trained in all the kingly education and sports from a young age. She was well educated and worldly. Eleanor had traveled all throughout Aquitaine with her father, even hearing the tales of her grandfather's adventures in the Crusade of 1101. Louis was quiet, shy, and submissive, and Eleanor was flamboyant, outspoken, and worldly. They were complete opposites in every way. Eleanor and Louis were married in July of 1137. After their marriage, the couple were enthroned as the Duke and Duchess of Aquitaine. Louis and Eleanor then set out on a tour of their provinces, but only days later, news reached them that Louis's father had died. So much to Eleanor's disappointment, by all accounts, the couple headed to Paris, accompanied by Eleanor's sister, Petronilla. There, they were crowned King and Queen of France on Christmas Day of 1137. Eleanor was less than impressed with her new husband, to put it mildly. She had grown up in a glittering court of love, hearing tales of chivalrous and gallant knights. Now, she was married to a prudish and puny boy living in the frigid north in an uptight court. Eleanor was raised to know her mind and to speak it. She was passionate and strong-willed. Louis was meek, pious, and monkish at best, and she found him incredibly boring. Louis, however, adored Eleanor. He was in awe of her beauty and her worldliness. He granted her every whim and bought her nearly anything she wanted, spending loads of money on her. While Louis found Eleanor's southern dress and manners endearing, it scandalized the rest of the court, especially her mother-in-law. Eleanor's mother-in-law hated her. It looks like monster-in-laws have existed since the beginning of time. While in France, Eleanor's sister, Petronella, met and fell in love with Raoul I of Vermandois. There was a problem, though. He was already married to the sister of Count Theobald II of Champagne. King Louis, however, allowed Raoul to annul his marriage, but Count Theobald didn't take that very well and subsequently went to war with the king in response. Raoul and Petronella were excommunicated by the Pope as well. Encouraged by Eleanor, Louis supported Raoul and Petronella. The ensuing war that broke out would last for 2 years. The royal army occupied Champagne, and more than 1,000 people sought refuge in a church in the town of Vitry. The army had set fire to the town, and the church also caught fire. All 1,000 people inside perished in the flames. The ever-sensitive conscience of Louis was troubled by the events that had transpired, and he was haunted by the screams of the dying. He was horrified and sought peace with Theobald. Theobald agreed to lift his ban on Raoul and Petronella's marriage, but as soon as Louis's troops marched away, Theobald went back on his word. This caused Louis to return again and ravage his land. In order to restore peace, Eleanor went to Theobald's ally, Bernard of Clairvaux, to try and broker a peace deal. Bernard, however, scolded Eleanor for involving herself in politics. The quick-thinking and quick-witted Eleanor knew exactly what to do. She broke down in tears and asked Bernard to excuse her behavior, as she was just so sad and upset over not having given birth to any children in her 7 years of marriage to Louis. Bernard immediately softened towards Eleanor, and within weeks, peace was restored in France. The real reason Eleanor had thus far not had any children was solely because of Louis. He was far too pious to go to bed regularly with Eleanor, and as a result, they did not have their first daughter, named Marie, until 8 years into their marriage. Even though Louis was to blame for them not having children, Eleanor was the one who took responsibility for that by not producing an heir, which was her sole purpose in life. After the birth of their first child, major cracks began to form in their already fragile marriage. Eleanor and Louis were arguing more and more and were becoming increasingly estranged. Louis was guilt-ridden over the massacre at Vitry. To atone for this, he wished to take a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. He and Eleanor decided to take the symbol of the cross and set out on the Second Crusade. Eleanor insisted on accompanying Louis and recruited 300 vassals and her loyal ladies-in-waiting to accompany them. By all accounts, Eleanor was a devout Christian, even if she wasn't submissive and meek like women were expected to be in that time. With that being said, a lot of the research I did stated that Eleanor viewed the crusade as a grand adventure, behaving as though she were going to a party or palace ball. I find that hard to believe. We all know history was written by the victors, who were usually men, so a woman going on crusade would have incensed them. I'm sure she may have viewed it as an adventure, but I doubt that she took it lightly. Louis's goal in funding and leading the expedition was to do penance for the massacre of the citizens of Vitry. Eleanor, Louis, and their army stayed in Constantinople for 3 weeks, where Eleanor was greatly admired. From here, they crossed over the Frisian Mountains to meet up with Eleanor's uncle, Raymond of Antioch. They were encouraged by stories that the German army had recently won a great victory, but along the mountain trail, they came across the unburied bodies of the German soldiers. They had not had a victory, but had instead been massacred. After seeing this, Eleanor and Louis's army became disheartened and began to fall into disorder. Louis had little experience in leadership and absolutely none in logistics and travel. As such, he showed himself to be a weak and ineffectual leader and was unable to keep order. Eleanor's vassals, however, was much better managed and marched ahead while Louis was slowed down by the baggage train and unarmed pilgrims. The baggage train was said to have been miles long, carrying all the necessities and supplies for Eleanor, Louis, Eleanor's ladies-in-waiting, and the army. Surprisingly, historians have made it clear that Eleanor was a more able leader than Louis and was more respected by the troops. When Eleanor reached the summit, her commander decided to keep going rather than to stop and make camp to wait for Louis and the rest of his army. Because of this, Louis's army was trapped and attacked by Turks who had been watching them. The Turks massacred them, and many men, horses, and baggage was cast into the canyon below. The royal guards were slaughtered, and Louis only escaped with his life because he had been dressed as a pilgrim and he hid in a tree. When Louis finally caught up with Eleanor in Antioch, he blamed her for the disaster. While they were in Antioch, Eleanor took center stage while Louis appeared as if he were one of her servants, not the king. Eleanor and her uncle also held conversations at length that Louis was not a part of. When Louis was a part of the conversations, Raymond would constantly pressure Louis to forget his goal of reaching Jerusalem to do penance and instead stay and fight with him to conquer Aleppo. Eleanor spent so much time with her uncle Raymond, who was described as tall, elegant, and handsome, and a man of charming affability and conversation, that rumors started swirling that they were having an affair. There has never been any proof or evidence that the rumors were true, but that nevertheless aroused Louis's jealousy and his fury. This was yet another crack in their already fractured marriage. The lack of an heir only added to that tension in their marriage. Eleanor brought up the issue of consanguinity, which means they're too closely related, which they were third cousins, and stated that this was grounds for an annulment. Because of the rumored affair with her uncle and then her bringing up annulment, Louis forced her to accompany him on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, leaving Antioch in the middle of the night. This humiliated Eleanor. She would never again see her uncle. Raymond of Antioch would be beheaded at the Battle of Enab in 1149. After their disastrous campaign, the unhappy couple made their way back home to France. Due to their arguments, they took separate ships. They were attacked by Byzantines and blown off course for 2 months. They were almost given up for dead, but Eleanor's ship eventually made it to Italy. While in Italy, Eleanor took the opportunity to ask the Pope himself for an annulment. The Pope denied her request and tried to reconcile the miserable couple. When Louis finally arrived in Rome, the Pope led them to a bed that he had blessed and prepared for them. He encouraged them that with his blessing, they would conceive. Unable to refuse the Pope, Eleanor went to bed with Louis, and she did, in fact, conceive their second child. 9 months later, Eleanor would give birth to another daughter, Alix. As the child was not the heir that was promised, Eleanor finally got her much-desired annulment. Custody of Eleanor's daughters, Marie and Alix, went to Louis, but Eleanor maintained her duchy of her beloved Aquitaine. Eleanor was finally free. Eleanor headed back home to Aquitaine. On her journey home, two lords attempted to kidnap and marry her, including her future husband's brother. This is hardly surprising, as she was once again one of the most eligible heiresses in Europe and described as beyond beautiful. She made it home safely, though, and immediately writes to Henry of Anjou, Duke of Normandy. She wrote to him demanding that he come and marry her. 8 weeks after her marriage to Louis was annulled, she and Henry were married on May 18th, 1152. At the time of their marriage, Eleanor was 30 and Henry was only 21. Ironically, they were as closely related as Eleanor and Louis were because they were also third cousins. True love conquers all, though, right? Both Henry and Eleanor were strong characters and accustomed to getting their own way. Thus, the stage was set for an extremely stormy and tumultuous union. So buckle up, because it's going to be a wild ride. The wild ride will begin next week. So far, Eleanor has already been a duchess in her own right, a queen, mother to two princesses, survived a crusade, annulled her marriage to the King of France, and married the Duke of Normandy, all by the age of 30. She has pushed the societal norms for women during her time, and there's even more to come. I hope you all enjoyed the episode today, and I hope you join me for part two next week. You can find Women Making History on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, so go ahead and give me a follow and let me know what you think and who you may want to hear about. Also, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode, and leave a review. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to go out and make a difference. Bye!